You're listening to Showtime
on URN.
Yeah, so I'm Freya Vanier, and I'm directing Redigor, and I also sing in the chorus of the show.
I'm Katrina Wilkins, and I'm the producer this year, and I also play the very small role of Zora, the head bridesmaid.
Yeah. What a title, though.
I know. It's amazing.
And my name's Jamie. I'm playing the role of Sir Despard Murgatroyd, a bad baronet of Rudigor.
Can we just take a second to appreciate that name? Yeah.
I know, it's great.
It's a great name.
I mean, it's awful. Like, no offence, it puts Jamie to shame. It's like...
Yeah.
We had ages and we tried to figure out if it was Despard or Depart. It's a French way. So I mean, I think in the end, we just stuck with Despard, what you went with.
Right, so you're here to talk about our latest show, Rudigor, Gilbert and Sullivan. Who wants to take the plunge and... basically sum up the show as best you can.
I think that worked very well in combination with different people talking at the same time. There's two basic plot points being solved here. One is all baronets of Rudigor are cursed. They were cursed because the first one was not a very nice person and made a sport of trying to drown witches and burn them. One of the witches turned out to be an actual witch and cursed him and said, all of your line will have to commit a crime every day, and if you don't, you just die in inconceivable agony. So it goes from father to son, and from first in line.
And to nephew and stuff.
And to nephew, exactly. And because the current bad baronet has faked his own death. Mm-hmm. And has run away.
Yeah.
And so his younger brother, Despard, has to take over the curse and is not very happy with this. So that's one of the plot points. Who is the actual bad baronet, and will he get the curse back, and then how is he going to get out of that situation? The other plot point is, who is going to marry Rose? Because she's really cute and everyone loves her. And the bridesmaids.
We have the village where it's set has a core of professional bridesmaids. We've had no weddings at which to ply our trade for months on end, and we're desperate for a wedding, and we all know that Rose is going to get married next because she's beautiful and everyone is in love with her, but all the young men are too shy to say anything, so they won't declare themselves, and she can't get married, so we're all kind of obsessed with whether Rose is going to get married and when and to whom.
And then it turns out that those plot points meet because the guy who faked his own death to get rid of the curse has hidden himself as Robin Ocaple in the village, and he's the one that is madly in love with Rose but too shy, and Rose is in love with him, but she has this little book of etiquette that she's absolutely obsessed with, and she just goes, well, I would say something, but you know, it says here that I can't speak until I'm spoken to. Her aunt is just so done with the whole book, she would really like to just burn it, but because the whole book of etiquette is an obsession for Rose, and like really thinking for herself is not something she does. She just goes with what people tell her to do, and it's very conflicting messages that she gets from the book and from people around her. Yes,
I think that was very nicely the entire show. I mean, what was it about Rudigor in particular that made you think, yeah, this is the show for us, this is one we want to do this year?
Why don't you start with that one, and then we'll go.
I really wanted to do Rudigor for a couple of reasons. The first one was I noticed there were a couple of things that were different from typical Gilbert and Sullivan productions. First of all, there's more female singing roles, solo roles. There's two mezzo roles. Mezzo is like between soprano and alto, so it's the medium voice. You've got a lot of mezzos in a show normally, in a chorus, but now there's actually two mezzo roles or three mezzo roles even to sing and have named characters, and that's really good. And they have interesting storylines, and they have character, and I have a lot of feelings about the characters. And then secondly, normally in any opera you have a soprano and a tenor who want to marry but are prevented from doing so by a baritone or a bass. So the tenor is always the good guy, the soprano is always the beautifully good girl, and they marry at the end. And in this show you've got a baritone who is the lead, like the medium voice range for men, and then who's super introverted and really shy and can't talk to the girl that he loves. And you've got the soprano who's like, yeah, I know, I will talk to him, but I really can't. So you've got super introverted people who try and get together, but it doesn't really work. So that's it, kind of turns it upside down what you expect. Because normally the tenor gets to go, and this time the tenor is in
is kind of the bad guy.
Yeah, he's like nice guy trademark.
Yeah, it's it really is a really fascinating show because it does. I mean, this is kind of a theme that it overthrows all these kind of expectations that you have about expectations about standard GNS drama, and it's also the whole thing is kind of constructed as kind of a satire on, you know, the really popular Victorian melodramas. So you've got like your classic villain, but then at a certain point the villain kind of becomes the good guy, and the good guy becomes the villain, and you've got just people swapping roles all the time, and you're like, I don't understand who anybody is anymore. So kind of throws those conventions out the window a bit.
Yeah, you've got maidens in distress that are definitely not in distress, and suddenly yeah. pull a gun from yeah. the skirts and yeah. goes, actually.
Exactly. I also wanted to say, you know, from the production team, one of the reasons that we were really interested in it was because Freya came to us with this idea about putting on Redigor and doing it with a steampunk theme, and we just really liked that idea, and we thought it could be really fun and entertaining and something a little bit different for GNS. So.
And what was it that appealed to you about the role that you ended up with?
Well, I've not done a role on stage before, so I didn't really know what to expect, but I particularly like for this one the ability, because I'm playing Despard, who at least initially is a very kind of classic satire of a sort of cartoonish villain.
Moustache twirling.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I've got this yeah. this dreadful facial hair, which obviously you can't see in a radio-based format. But
it's not about that.
It's getting there.
Having had a dad who did has done multiple musical set in the 70s and having to play like South American characters. He's got like big moustaches, and I have to introduce him to my friends, go, this is my dad, he doesn't normally look like this. So yeah. It's not that bad, trust me.
I'm really enjoying it though, because it's a great role to play in a sort of very exaggerated ham kind of style, and mm-hmm. exaggerate all of the facial expressions and be evil, and then there's a like a distinct character change going through into the second act, which is really interesting to do. And it's also, Redigor is not it's not a very frequently performed GNS show, mm-hmm. so like, I was totally unfamiliar with it coming to it, which is really, really interesting, because it's actually a really, really good show that I was totally unaware of, so I'm really enjoying actually learning and getting into it.
Mm-hmm. Jamie, will you do your evil laugh for us?
Yeah, I think you should.
That was just a little one, just a taster.
Amazing.
Wait, I'm
going
to clip that and use it as a sound. Yeah.
It's one of our favourite things on the show. Every time we rehearse, you know, everybody's just like riveted on Jamie as he does his evil laugh, no, and actually his interesting twirls thing his moustache.
Interesting thing in Jamie's audition is I am the musical director, Emma, and I were holding auditions, and Jamie did his audition for Despard, and suddenly like went all Despard and came really close and went, and we both sat back in our chairs like, this is scary.
I thought I was going to be banned from the society for a moment. They're so terrified.
We're like, you were terrifying, you've got the part.
It's the brilliance of theatre that anything that we're getting thrown out of a normal social situation is always positive.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, like, this is something I always like to talk about when we have anyone interviewing for Showtime, and that is, what shenanigans have you got up to in rehearsals?
I don't really know. I think for the choreo, everyone always wants to do jazz hands, so yeah. I always have to, and I think I introduced that. I initially said, and then you did say, you go, jazz hands! And especially the male chorus in the first act and the second, they've picked that up, and now whenever they go, they just go, jazz hands! Like, no, stop.
The more you tell us to stop it, the more
yeah,
we want to do it.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
And I think, I don't know, I think what sometimes happens is people like get into their character when we're doing the warm-up, so the two people that are both wanting to marry Rose in the show kind of start pushing each other around and like messing with each other. I don't know, what else do we get up to?
I think one of the things that I have with John, who's playing the role of Robin, who's my character's brother, there's sort of a role flip that part way through the show, and we sort of exchange things, and John has taken to confusing me by sort of like by saying my lines in it, and because there's such a character change, I'm sort of like, wait, no, is that my line? Is that your line? I don't know anymore. We keep changing. It's terrible. So yeah, he's continually trolling me with that, which is quite funny.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's one of the really cool things about Redigor is the role reversals, because at the end of the first act, the curse actually gets transferred back to the guy who faked his death, Robin. And so Despard in the second act is like, a good, benevolent, kind of lovely figure, mm-hmm. and Robin has taken on the curse and is trying to be super evil, and it's really not very good at it.
Yeah, he's trying and he's not very good.
He's a bit bad at it. Which is for the actors, I think it's a fun thing to have two different characters to play almost.
Yeah, I mean, it sort of brings me to my next question, which is like, what. There are always challenges faced in any show, whether it be from the production side of things or as an actor. What kind of challenges have you faced with this? See, you're pointing at Katrina.
Don't point at me.
Okay. I can start in.
The challenge.
When we start, I'll jump in.
Okay, I'll start. For me, I think one of the biggest challenges is that for Radagor, it's a long show, and it has a lot of, especially the first act, has a lot of split choruses where the girls sing one song and then the guys sing another song and come in later. So what you then get is, if you have a rehearsal with the entire group, you need to, one of the musical director works with the one with the men for one song, and I work with the women for another song, so you work together in the same room. So I'm working on the ghost chorus and they're going, and then on the other side the girls are trying to sing Hail the Bridegroom, Hail the Bride, and it all gets a bit mixed up. So I think that was challenging also in terms of planning rehearsals, because you basically need double the time, but we don't have double the time.
It also, I mean, just on a really, really practical kind of tiny note here, it got really difficult sometimes to be able to decide whether it was appropriate to shush people. Because sometimes, you know, like if I was over with the female chorus and we were working on our parts or whatever, and the male chorus would be over in another corner working on an acting bit or whatever, and I mean even when they were trying to talk quietly and stuff, they just kind of, their voices just carry, you know,
it's like half and a line gets delivered quietly and then all of a sudden it becomes grandiose and loud.
And then
we just face a sort of barrage of
and it was really hard to know sometimes, because, you know, you'd be like, well, I mean, like, we don't want to, you know, make them feel bad for like doing well in their rehearsal, but at the same time we can't hear what our MD is trying to tell us about this song. So, you know,
and I was standing in between going, okay, just got quiet, but loud, but quiet,
but get really into it, but quiet.
What about, like, because as you said, that it's not one of the like more well-known Gilbert and Sullivan shows. I wasn't that familiar with it until Grace told me it was going on, at which point some frantic Googling and watching clips on YouTube.
Can I just say, I was pretty much the same way. I mean, even after we had brought on Freya as the director and knew we were doing Radagor as the producer, I was like, I have no idea what this show is. So that was my summer, was figuring out Radagor.
Learn the show.
Yes.
Yeah, and one of the things that kept cropping up in things I was reading and researching was the sort of the technical difficulties, for want of a better word, of doing like the ghostly
stuff. Holy, so it's been really tricky to work out, and I think we're not entirely positive. We think we have it worked out, but we haven't like had kind of a practical run through yet with it. There's this really great scene where in the second act, the second act is set in Renegor Castle, and the new baronet, as he's trying to be evil and do his crimes and stuff, his ancestors step down out of their portraits in the portrait gallery and come, you know, come kind of haunt him and try to try to make sure that he's you know, fulfilling his end of the curse and doing his crimes. And so yeah, that's been really tricky to kind of sort out. And we've worked out something very quite simple but clever about it. And so, you know, I don't want to tell you what it is, because, you know, I want people to come to the show and come see how clever we were. But
I think for most productions of Radagor, the ghost coming out of the portraits is the biggest challenge, and for some it's the biggest expense as well, because people get very into it. And I've heard people talking about their grandparents doing this show and blowing the entire show's budget on the portraits when they have to come out of. So I'm kind of glad we don't do that. That was technically, I think that was the hardest thing to figure out how to do.
But I completely agree that simple but effective is the way to go, and then I'm sure it's going to look stunning.
We sure hope so. Yes, it is. No, I think it will be really, really good, and it's clever, and it should not be too complicated to do. So I've got faith that it's going to be fine.
Yeah. It's going to be fun.
So if you could travel back in time to the beginning of this process, for want of a better word, and give yourself one bit of advice, what would it be?
Oh, wow.
I think for me, communication, because we are a big team, and we are all students, so we're all in various ways new to being in a team like this. Communication is important, and so that people know what's going on and people know what ideas there are, and so that's one of the things. The other thing as well is that don't panic, it's going to be fine.
Always solid advice.
It's solid advice. And in terms of acting and character developments, make sure that people have input, but also that they know you expect input like that.
Yeah, the people are allowed to give you input about what if my character did this, but then also let them know that you want that kind of input from them. Is that what you're trying to say?
Anyway. The creative team and the actors on screen.
Yes, because one of the ways I work is getting input from the people who are doing the work, from the character. I have loads of ideas about the character, but I don't want to sit people down and say, congratulations, you are the character, this is exactly what I have thought, what I've thought out for you, so that people construct their own character.
I think it's a team effort between like what you've been giving, like for me with the character, in certain, you know, I was at certain points playing it perhaps too much of a comedic role when you wanted me to actually sort of like the my relationship with Mad Margaret in the show. You wanted to be very clear that that was like a nice, lovely, cute relationship. Whereas initially I was sort of like saying, oh, stay away from me, you're a bit weird. But you told me to. So it's actually like, but I've input into that as well. So it's actually like a collaborative role to establish the character. And that's actually really, really nice that it works that way.
Do you have advice for your younger self, Jamie?
Any advice for my younger self? Well, how much younger? I mean, honestly, if I could actually go back like much further than just the start of term, I would say get into Gilbert and Sullivan earlier, because it's something I always wanted to do, and I didn't have the opportunity, I didn't have the courage to do it until I came to university in October last year. So I would say to my young self, just go and do it now, because it's like it's great fun. I'm having an amazing time. In terms of just coming back to the start this term. This year, then I'd tell myself to just be a bit more confident with it, because I think I was there for quite a few weeks, certainly before the audition, and I really sort of like loitered in the back, not really knowing what to do. I mean, I have no experience with this, so I didn't really know what to do, but it took a while, but eventually I began to sort of like come out and just sort of like act in the sessions, as opposed to sort of mumble and things like that, and really sort of like express myself. And it's so I tell myself to be more confident and just let it go.
I like that.
Don't sing. No.
Now, I know it's a little bit like picking your favourite child, but if you can, what are your favourite songs and characters of the show?
Songs I'm going to have to think about a little bit. Okay, I can tell you off the top of my head my favourite characters. So I really love the interactions between Robin Oakapple and his faithful servant, Old Ada, which is actually in the show as it's written by Gilbert and Sullivan. It's a male part named Adam. But we did a little gender bend with it, and so we've got a female playing that role and renamed her as Ada. But I really love the interactions between those two, because Ada is like she's been with this family for a long time. She totally knows about the curse, and she's kind of really into that curse. Yeah. And she seems kind of disappointed that Robin has run away from it. And so she's so excited about the prospect of him, stepping into his rightful title and taking on that curse again. And it's just great fun to watch the two of them interact together.
Because Robin is a terrible bad barber.
Yeah, he's awful at it.
Ada just rolls with it.
She's totally into it. So. Yeah. And my other favorite, honestly, is Jamie playing Despard. He just, I'm absolutely serious when I say, like, when we're in rehearsals and when he comes out for his scenes and stuff, really, like, everyone's attention just is riveted on him, because he's just so amazing in this role, and we just love hearing his his deep baritone-y
evil laugh.
Villain
I'm terribly
voice
flattered,
and his incredible evil laugh that you got to hear. It's honestly amazing. And then I mean even when the roles kind of switch in the second act, it's just amazing to watch. It's fantastic. So I'd have to think a little bit about songs, favorite songs. I do really love the Act One finale, which we were just rehearsing earlier today. It's quite long, and there's a lot of music, a lot of parts to it and stuff. But it's just great fun to sing, and so
a lot of dance.
And to the end,
oh my god,
it's true.
How much jazz hands though?
No jazz hands in that one. We could add some in.
No.
The other.
No.
Okay.
Don't
Actually, you know, I think I know. There are a lot of really great songs. Mad Margaret, one of the characters is Margaret, who's she was abandoned by Despard earlier, and it's driven her to insanity, and so she comes out and she has this incredible kind of aria where she's just kind of crazy, and you just go, oh my gosh, what's wrong with this person? So that's a really great one to listen to. I really also love the ghosts chorus in the second act when they come out and step out of their frames and come to kind of haunt Robin and make sure he's doing his crimes, and they have this fantastic chorus that kind of swells, and it's really kind of creepy and very atmospheric, and it's great.
Creepy.
Yeah.
I think one of my favorite interactions is there's so many feelings about the show. I think one of my favorite things is right at the beginning of the show, you've got the two Rose and Robin who's hiding from being a baronet, and Rose who's too shy to talk, and they're both like, hi, it's nice out, isn't it? Yeah. And they're
it's all so awkward.
You can feel the awkward, like, yes, ripping from the stage is great. Yes. So, and then they have a little song about, I have a friend, if I'm asking for a friend who likes this girl, and there's just a whole song about that, and they get step closer and closer and closer. Oh, this is too close, it's scary.
It's good to know that they do the whole kind of like, I'm asking for a friend thing back in the 1880s.
Yeah.
It's like, it's been around a while. Yeah.
It's very reassuring, isn't it?
He goes with the, for a friend, and he goes, what did I just say? Oh my god! And then one of my other favourite interactions is Rose and Mad Margaret, because Ruby, who plays Mad Margaret, just does it really well, and she goes from 0 to 100 in like 0.5 seconds, and she's
amazing.
She sits and she jumps and shouts, and then she sits there very serenely looking and said, did you ever kill anybody? And you see Rose just stand there really creeped out going, what is going on?
Yeah.
So that's also one of my favourites.
She gets this great look on her face like, I just don't know what to do with this person. Like, this isn't in my etiquette book anywhere. I don't know what's happening.
She actually does look in her book like this. What is my book? I don't know. Yeah, that's one of my favourites too.
I think one of my favourite character moments in it is when Sir Roderick, played by Matt, he's the head of the Ancestral Ghost Chorus. He has this wonderful moment. He appears and he's all terrifying and intimidating. It's quite spooky, quite scary. Mm. But then he encounters an old flame and he melts.
Oh, yes!
He melts.
It's so great.
And it's so good to watch that. It's just like instantly changes, and it's wonderful.
Yeah.
But as far as songs go, it's got to be the Patter Trio.
Oh, my gosh, how can you leave that out?
Yeah. It's a very fast-paced nonsense song, essentially. Mm-hmm. The key point being that none of the lyrics matter.
Yeah.
Because it's so...
What's the lyrics again? That's actually
oh my gosh,
line.
Yeah.
This, I can't remember now on the spot. That's embarrassing, isn't it?
This particularly rapid and intelligible patter isn't generally heard, and if it is, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Yay. Yeah, give it something. Don't make it easy for anybody.
No,
oh my gosh,
no.
Yeah.
No.
I just wanted to say because Jamie brought up Matt and his Sir Roderick and how fantastic he is to watch. And Matt's been with the Society for a few years now, and he's just a really fantastic character actor, and he's a lot of great fun to watch as well. So, yeah.
So much fun.
I don't want to brag, but we have a lot of really great people.
We have people
in
really good people, yes.
Cast, so,
brag about it. Shout it from the rooftops. Let everybody know, because it sounds so wonderful.
We have one character that's very interesting. It's done differently in different versions of Rodigor, but our Richard, it's like the foster brother of the Baronet in hiding, mm-hmm. Robin. He's like... has all the people skills that Robin doesn't, and is really good with the ladies, especially when they're there.
But not with tact.
Not with tact. And he's always just too close. Always too close to anyone. To Rose, to Robin, to Despard. And just doesn't seem to notice that people are uncomfortable with him doing that. And it's interesting that he and Robin are vying for Rose's love, because they're both complete polar opposite, and they're, it's very interesting to see how Rose deals with both of them and how they behave in each other's presence. Because Robin, like, for Richard, is one of the only people who does not change during the show. Most of the other characters have a character switch at midpoint of the show, but Richard just stays the same, just
same bawdy sailor.
Yeah, exactly.
I just want to say Zora's character does not change. All she cares about is weddings.
Yeah, that's true.
Give me a wedding and I'm happy.
Yeah,
as head bridesmaid, what more can you
do? Exactly. Yeah, that's really all I want. Yeah. I just want a wedding to go to.
So kind of like, as a final question, I always ask this: why should people come and see this show?
Ooh.
Because it's going to be fabulous. That's why.
With lots of jazz hands.
Jazz hands, but you'll see where they are.
You can find it
when
we'll be there. I think they're ghosts are planning something. That's
my response. I know nothing.
I know nothing.
I think, come see the show, because there are a lot of awesome characters in there. People have thought well about their characters and are putting that on stage, and what I think is the audience will really care what happens to the characters and where they end up and how they're doing. That's what I think.
I would say it's a great show, so come see it. It's honestly a very funny show, and it's, the music is absolutely amazing. It's some of the most complex music in any of the GNS shows.
We've got a great orchestra,
and have an incredible orchestra and MD, and like all the singers, the orchestra, everybody, music wise has just put a lot of work into it, and it's come together really, really great. And it's a fun, entertaining show. It'll be something a little bit different if you've like, especially for those maybe who are not familiar with steampunk stuff, it'll be a little bit different kind of view for that kind of thing. That's something that a lot of us have been kind of tinkering with all through the years. Some of us knew about it and some of us didn't really know about it, and it's been a fun kind of learning curve that way too. So
steampunk makeup.
It's a lot of fun. Yeah. It's a fun show. So come
such
for that.
A huge fan of steampunk,
and we've got a really good theatre as well where we're performing.
Yeah. Here. Oh my gosh. Yeah.
It's brand new. I think we're one of the first groups in there.
So we're going to be at Nottingham Girls High School, and they've just, when we contacted them about the venue, it was still being built, and so it's brand new. They just finished the construction in December, I think we are the first external group, if I've understood correctly. So they've had some school events and stuff in there, but I think we're the very first external group to perform anything there with them. And it's a beautiful theater. It's really well designed, laid out. There's honestly not a bad seat in the whole house, so even if you we don't have reserved ticket or anything, but even if you kind of come late, I guarantee you'll get a great seat, because they're all great, and it's just a beautiful theater, and we're very excited and very lucky to be there. So
I'm so excited now.
Yeah, a lot of fun. Yeah, so it's from 7:30 on the 5th, 6th, and 7th of April. That's a Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And tickets are available online. They're online through the SU, so if you're familiar there. Or if you don't, if you need an easier address, you can go to tinyurl.com/ReadyGore2017. And it's ReadyGore with an I, not a Y. Tickets are £10 for general public and £6 for students.
So there's no excuse for students not to go see it.
Yeah, exactly. And could I say too, that was a very, very conscious choice on the part of the exec committee this year. We really wanted to make sure that it was affordable for students to go to. So,
thank you so much for coming in and having a chat with me today. I always love interviewing any form of musical theatre, or indeed yourselves at Gilbert and Sullivan Society, because not only is it a great fun interview, but then you get to go and see a show at the end of it.
Exactly.
Best of both worlds.
No kidding.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for
awesome.
Having
thank
us.
Thank you. Appreciate your time. This is URN Showtime.